Luke chapter 24 is where I'm going to read from today. Luke chapter 24. Burning hearts is what I want to talk about. Burning hearts. I wondered how I could get that out of this message, even though I know that's the theme. I've read it before, but I've been working on this message this week, and I think it just came together. I just thank the Lord for it. Luke chapter 24, down to verse number 13. It says this. Now that same day, you can't start reading like that. I mean, it's like starting a sentence with and or therefore. And you're thinking, what same day? The same day, if you read earlier in the chapter, this was the day that the women came back from the tomb after not finding Jesus' body. It was that day. That same day. You can read that in the first part of this chapter. Two of them, everybody say two. Two of them, who are them? If you read earlier in this chapter, in verse number 9, it said they were followers of Jesus. They were gathered with the disciples and the others. They were part of the others that are there. They were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. What had happened? Jesus had been beaten, he'd been tortured, he'd been crucified, a horrendous death, and laid in a tomb. We celebrated that last Sunday, Easter Sunday. I mean, we celebrated all year, but we had special emphasis on it last Sunday. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself, everybody say, Jesus himself, came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. They were kept from recognizing him. That is amazing. They were followers of Jesus Christ, included with the disciples. They knew Jesus, but yet they encountered him personally, but didn't know who he was because the Lord kept them from being able to recognize him. He asked them, "Why are you discussing? What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. Everybody, show your worst or your best downcast face. Pretty pitiful, isn't it? You see somebody and they're like, they look like they've just left. They're about to cry. You know, like they've lost their last friend. That's how these guys were. They were downcast. They had a reason to feel downcast. The promised Messiah in whom they believed was now dead, and they had a sense of hopelessness. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? That was like a big, huge, like, you've got to be the only one in town that doesn't know. What have you been, living under a rock or something? I mean, that's really what he's saying. It's like, how can you not know? Everybody knows. What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. I want you to look at this. They said he was a prophet. He was a man of God. They had believed that he was the Messiah, but because he was crucified, they did not state that that's who he was in their recollection of who he was. They said he was a prophet. He was a great man of God. And then they said, we had hoped that he was the Messiah. They believed he was the Messiah until he got killed. And then they say, we had hoped that he was the Messiah. We had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. Have you ever been amazed? You can read about it back in verse 9 and 10 right in there in the same chapter. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels and that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, like they were lying or something, you know? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But they did not see Jesus. You see, they were puzzled, they were confused, they didn't understand why this happened. Have you guys ever been puzzled or confused or didn't understand why some things happen the way that they do? Sometimes circumstances, they unfold right in front of you and you're thinking, why in the world is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Why are people that I care about and love, why are they going through this? And he said to them in verse 25, how foolish you are. And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He called them. He said they were foolish. How foolish you are. You're just being foolish. How slow to believe the prophets. Jesus was telling them to know, all they had to do was believe what the word said. The word was what the prophets had said. That was the scripture. That was the record of God's word. He said, what you need to do is know what the word says. Verse 26, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets. Now, when you begin with Moses thousands of years ago and you bring it all the way down, it's going to take some time. I mean, we read about it in this one verse, but he was there for a while. If I were to tell you everything between Moses and Jesus, we'd be here by 6 tonight still. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures. Everybody say all. All the scriptures. He didn't leave anything out. Concerning himself. He was pointing out everything that pointed to himself, to the Messiah, to who he was. As they approached the village to which they were going, see, it was a 7-mile walk. Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. You see, this is a reminder of how Jesus had broken bread with his disciples many times before. Even at the Passover, just the previous week, he had done so with the 12. Verse 31 says, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." Talk about being amazed. I mean, the moment they realized who he was, he accomplished the purpose that he was sent to those two to fulfill, and he went on to do something else because he no longer was there. Jesus is the revealer of truth. When Jesus, the living word, brings his truth to the forefront, then spiritual eyes are opened. Jesus is the revealer of truth. He is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when he comes on the scene, all the truth comes right out. And in verse 32, it says, then they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning within us? Burning hearts is what they had. The reason their hearts was burning was because Jesus shared the scriptures to them, the very word of God, because the word is powerful. The word goes deep into the places of a person's soul and it penetrates through everything. Hebrews 4, 12, 13 says this, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. That is why, my friends, that whenever someone encounters the word of God and the truth of the word of God, that it cuts right into a person's soul, right into their spirit, and it goes right where it's supposed to go, and it divides what's flesh among what's spirit, and the spiritual things which have eternal significance. It goes right into that, the heart of the matter, and it makes that individual deal with whatever that word is addressing, because my Bible tells me that the word of God will not come back void, but it will accomplish that which he pleases, which means whatever it's sent to do, that's exactly what it's going to do. I have heard of preachers that have preached a message about Psalm 23 of all things. And people would get different things out of that message. You would think it would be a psalm of comfort. But yet there are some that are comforted. There are others that are challenged to be delivered from darkness. There are others that see hope and they see light. And there are others yet that see love and they see peace. And all of these different things work together because the word is multifaceted. It can go into your life and my life and your life and your life. And it accomplishes a whole host of different things because it goes right into the very attitude of your heart and it addresses what is needed in your life. Now I know it's kind of a funny comparison and not really worthy of comparison, but there's a children's movie that was made several years ago called Mary Poppins. Anybody ever see it? And if I ask you and I say a spoonful of sugar helps what?
The medicine
go down. You know what that means. And as Mary Poppins, this nanny that is hired to take care of these two children, is pouring this medicine out of a bottle and a big old spoon, and she gives it to one, and it looks like this purple cough syrup kind of stuff. And she pours it out to another one, and it's this like red or orangish color out of the same bottle. And then she pours one out for herself, and it is even a different color, all different from the same bottle. And it's like, how does that happen? It doesn't happen. It's a fairy tale in that context. But with regard to the word of God, it very much happens. It happens. It comes out and does this and comes out and does that and comes out and does this into each one of our lives the way that it needs to. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. Nothing is hidden from God. The word goes forth. The burning begins when the word of God goes into our hearts and into our lives and says, there's something in here that the word is dealing with. And when we sense that burning, that call of God into our lives to come to a higher place, that's where the burning begins. And as the burning in their hearts, they were challenged with scripture. They knew the trueness of the word. And it was confirming in their hearts everything that they knew and they believed. And it was challenging them to believe something a little more, to stretch a little more than what they had believed so far. When was the last time our hearts were burning with the passion as we were filled with the word of God? When was the last time that the Word of God truly burned within us? When was the last time we were so filled with the Word of God that it just permeated our spirit? And we found ourselves thinking about scriptures and we didn't even open our Bible. There's a scripture that came to mind and it just came to mind. Oh, we can listen to music and whatever kind of music you may choose to listen to. And you'll have a song that'll just pop into your head or something that'll remind you of something else. But when's the last time we had something and it reminded us of the Word of God? When's the time that we had the Word of God that just came out of nowhere? There's a little boy that once... I saw a video of him. He got caught by his mom. And he had chocolate all over his face. As she came into the kitchen, "Have you been in the cookie jar?" "No." But the evidence was right there. He couldn't hide it. But if the cookie jar were empty, he definitely couldn't get there. May I tell you that when you delve into the Word of God, there'll be evidence. There'll be evidence. Not that you would deny it, but I'm saying that there will be evidence. You know, like a little boy denied being in the cookie jar. You don't want to deny being in the Word of God, but you know, you want to have the evidence of the Word. Jesus is the light of the world, and His light will cause our hearts to burn passionately while we pursue Him. 2 Timothy 1:5 says this, "I am reminded of your sincere faith." Everybody say sincere. The word sincere means wholehearted, deep, from the heart. It means that. "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Our sincere, our wholehearted, deep from the heart faith that we placed in the light of the world, Jesus has ignited a burning light within us, and it's not meant to be covered, dimmed, or extinguished. Everybody stick your finger up. "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine for all the world to see, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine for all the world to see, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine for all the world to see, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's a very old song that I heard first when I was a little boy, and I've never forgotten it. Jesus put it this way in Luke 11:33. "No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come may see the light." There is a light the light of Christ that burns brightly within us. Jesus, the living Word, burns in our hearts. And that passionate burning in our hearts when we accepted Christ and the joy that salvation brings and realizing that I will not be held accountable for all of the sin that was in my life, all of the wrong, because it has been cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me again. I realize that and realize that that burning fire within me is so powerful that I just have to tell somebody about it. I just have to let it show in my life. Oh, well, Pastor, that was many, many years ago. All the more reason for us to trim the lamp and keep it burning brightly. If you've ever dealt with an oil lamp, and you know, if you were here during the ice storm of 2007, and you went to Walmart and you could not find a candle, a battery, or oil lamps. Fortunately, we had dozens of candles that we had collected over the year, and I think we went through most of them during that week or so that we were without electricity. Fortunately, we had heat. We had oil lamps. We had oil lamp holders that they were mounted on the wall. They were just for decoration. Her dad made them, and they hang in the house for decoration. We still have one hanging at home, and it'll hold the oil lamp. But they were very useful during that time, because without electricity, there was no light. But there's a mirror that is the backdrop of that lamp holder. And the reason the mirror is there is to reflect the light that comes in there so that it makes the light even brighter. And I remember that as the power was out, it wasn't adequate enough just to light a candle and set it on the table. We would light a candle and we would set it way up on the top of the shelf because it would illuminate the light further. Because the higher up the light is, the further the effects of the light will go. I'm about to preach, folks. Let me tell you. The higher up the light is, the further the light will reach. And the same is true in each one of our lives. When the light of Jesus Christ is the foremost, first thing, the first thing at the top of our lives, at the very pinnacle of our lives, then it lights the way for our path, and it lights the way for everyone else to see. And it comes not because just Jesus is the light, it's the light where we have placed him, because the passion of the burning heart that we have for the Lord is so real and it is so true that we have purpose in our hearts and in our lives that we are going to put him first above everything else. We're going to elevate him to that place. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 says this, for this reason, talking about the sincere faith, continuing in that verse, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you. To fan into flame. God gives us gifts. There are gifts that he wants us to have from the Holy Spirit that will flow into us and make us bolder for Jesus. He says, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. There are gifts that God wants to give us. And he's looking for the light. If you were out and you were in trouble and you were looking for a place. I know this isn't as real today as it probably was 30 or 40 years ago with cell phones and technology and stuff like that. But if you were out in an unfamiliar place and you were looking for help, how many know that you would find the darkest house you could find with no lights on and you'd go to that house? Absolutely not. You would find the house that's lit up the brightest. You would find the house that looks the best cared for. You would find the house that looks like it is the best choice, that's there, the best of everything. You wouldn't go to a place where there's all kinds of stuff and there's questionable things that are outside and you're thinking, I don't know, the house just kind of looks eerie to me. I don't think I want to venture up to that one. But if you've got a house that's well cared for, you've got a place that's well lit, and you can see evidence that there's people there and that they care for their property, that's the house that you're going to pick and you're going to go to. And the same is true yet today in our spiritual lives. When people need assistance, when they need help, they will come to the one that is having the light of Christ in their lives. They will come to the one that is shining the beacon of Christ so strongly and so more than anything else, because they know that there is a hope and there is a light in that life. The burning heart and desire and passion for Jesus Christ should never, ever go out. And if nothing else, it should get stronger. The old song says it this way. It says, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I've got to make it to heaven somehow. And though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around, if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Amen. We've come too far to turn back now. We've come too far to turn back now. Lord, my prayer is that my heart will burn passionately for you. My prayer is that I will be so close to you and that I will be so deep into your word. There are people that can give you all kinds of statistics. They can tell you the latest thing that's going on in sports. They can tell you the latest episode of their favorite television show and tell you about each and every character. There are people that are familiar with the stock market and financial reports and all of those things. Those things will not matter 100 years from now. Amen. What will matter is the Word of God. My grandpa said this one time. He said, I would rather stand on the Word of God than to be in heaven. Because he said, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. Amen. Never pass away. When you're standing on the Word of God, there is nothing more better. I know that's not good grammar, but there's nothing more better that you can stand on than the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Did not our hearts burn within us as Jesus and the Word has started burning in our hearts? Let the sincere faith never go out. May we continue to seek Him and allow His gifts to flow into our lives. May we fan into flame what He has given us so that all who need His touch will see the light of Christ and the light of the Word. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for who You are and for what You're doing. I pray, God, that You would just have Your way in each one of our lives today as we strive so much to let Your passion and Your zeal for You and Your Word come to the forefront of our lives so that all will see. I thank You for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.